Our scripture reading for today is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 through chapter 3, verse 5. These verses provide a parallel to the passage we will be focusing on this morning in Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. As Paul prepares to wrap up his second letter, he reminds the believers of their calling from God. He also requests prayer for himself and those serving with him. Paul understands the power and purpose of prayer, which enables the gospel to go forth, leading to lives being transformed by the Lord. I invite you to follow along as I read 2 Thessalonians chapter 13 through chapter 3, verse 5, from the New American Standard Bible. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ.
Join me now in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You just heard read from 2 Thessalonians, a parallel passage that connects with the two verses we're going to be looking at this morning in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. As we begin, I want to read those verses for us so that we can get them in our minds, be thinking about them as we prepare to hear what God has for us from these verses. I want to start reading in verse 18 here in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, writes these words, verse 18, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." These three verses are flowing from the previous verses here in Ephesians chapter 6. And so if we can go all the way back to verse 10, as you and I as believers, as we are strong in the Lord, as we then have the opportunity and responsibility to stand, verse 14, and to take up the full armor of God that he has provided for us, we can, as we see in verse 18, stand in his strength as we are praying. Prayer is the foundational element that enables a believer to stand in the strength of God and to take up the armor of God. Or as Pastor Dell explained last week, prayer brings the energy. Without prayer, we are helpless. Prayer is designed by God to be a reminder that you and I cannot do anything in our own strength. We need to pray, and thus we need to abide in Christ. We need to be connected to him, because apart from him, we can do nothing. And so prayer becomes the conduit, becomes the channel by which we are strengthened to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. This is not just my opinion. This is what the text says. If you were to look at the Greek, you would see that the last main verb that we're looking at is back in verse 17, that verb that we looked at a couple weeks ago where it says take, or maybe your Bible translates it receive. And that main verb is connected, parallel to the main verb in verse 14, where we are to stand. And so verses 18 and 20 are building off of those main verbs. So in other words, let's say it this way. As you and I are standing with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, as you and I are taking up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, we must be praying. Prayer is the channel by which we are able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Prayer is so important. This is why God instructs you and he instructs me to pray without ceasing. He tells us to pray about everything. He tells us to pray and not lose heart as we ask the Lord for the strength to be strong in him in the strength of his might. But as Pastor Dell reminded us last week, we're not just praying for ourselves, we're also praying for others, right? You see that at the end of verse 18, the text says we are to pray for all the saints. Now, why would God instruct you and I to pray for all the saints? Answer, because all the saints need prayer, right? A Christian never arrives at a point in his life when he no longer needs the prayers of his brothers and sisters. This last week, as I was talking to Louise while she was still in the hospital, she gave testimony again and how thankful she is for the prayers that she has received on her behalf. She told one of the nurses that she has hundreds of people all around the world who are praying for her. She was testifying to that. Those prayers are not just an encouragement to her, but God answers prayer. She is with us here today. God is giving her the ability to have the attitude and perspective she has because of prayer. You see, our God answers prayer. Prayer works. That's why we must pray. We all need prayer. In fact, the Apostle Paul himself acknowledges this, as you see there in verse 19. Here's the Apostle Paul, maybe one of the most spiritually mature believers to ever walk on this earth. And notice in verse 19, he is asking for prayer on his behalf. And so if Paul needs prayer, I would say that we all need prayer as well. I know I do. But I found it interesting that Paul, in the position he's in, there in prison, if I was in his position, my prayer request that I would ask would be that people would pray that I would be released. But that's not what Paul is praying here in these verses. Instead, Paul is praying and asking that he would be able to share the gospel with those around him. And I find that fascinating for a number of reasons. For one, Paul's drive was to share the gospel with everyone he could. I mean, read through the book of Acts. Read through the letters that he wrote. Paul was an evangelist, sharing the gospel with so many people. And yet, here in our text, we see that he is asking for more prayer to share the gospel. Why? Well, I think one of the reasons that he's asking for that is because sharing the gospel can be difficult to do at times. Would you agree? You know, from one perspective, sharing the gospel is easy. There's not much you need to say. You don't need to go to Bible college. You don't need a master's degree. Even a child can share the gospel. But on the other hand, because of our fear of man, because of our selfishness or our laziness, or even our short-sightedness, sharing the gospel can be difficult to do. At least it can be for me. And so like Paul, I need you to pray for me. But if you think about it, Paul's prayer request in these two verses really should be all of our prayer requests. We need to be praying for each other, specifically about sharing the good news with all those around us. And so this morning, as we look at these two verses, we're going to see five specific requests that we should be praying for ourselves and for each other as we strive to share the gospel with those around us. So let's jump in. Look at the first one here in verse 19. Paul's first prayer request is he's praying for the words to speak. Notice the text says, "And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me." That word utterance is the Greek word logos, which is often translated word. And so Paul is praying for the words to speak, that they will be given to him. As you all know, sometimes it's hard to know exactly what to say in certain situations. That's why we need to pray this, right? We need to pray this for ourselves and for each other, that we would have the words to speak. We need to pray that God would direct our mouths, enabling us to be able to say what needs to be said in the moment. I find it so amazing that our God can do that, right? Our God is able to give us the words to say in the moment because our God is involved in each and every aspect of our lives. For many years, I have greatly appreciated the promise that Jesus gave to his followers in Luke chapter 21. When he said, "So make up your mind not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves, for I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute." Now, in this context, Jesus is talking specifically about a time when his followers are arrested and are standing for people who are trying them for sharing the gospel, for being a believer. And in that moment, when you are standing before these people who have their eyes on you, and those eyes aren't eyes of love, those eyes are eyes of hate, God promises to give you the words to say. And so think about it. If God is able to give the words to you and I to say in those tense situations, how much more will he give you and I the words to say in a much more relaxed setting? When we're sharing the gospel with an unbeliever, when there's no persecution in sight. Because remember, our God is not just concerned about the big events of our lives. Our God is concerned, our God is involved with even what we would consider the small, even the insignificant events in our lives as well. This is why we need to pray. We need to pray and ask that God would give us the words to speak as we talk with unbelievers around us. We must be praying and sharing. Paul also understands that human words do not save anyone. God is the one who saves a person. God has designed his word, the Bible, to be the means by which the Holy Spirit opens a person's eyes and enables them to believe. Romans 10:17 clearly says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." And so the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and works in a person's heart. What is also so interesting, if you read the verses before Romans 10:17, you will discover that God has designed and appointed people to share his word. And so in God's grand design, he has given you, he has given me the opportunity and the responsibility to speak. We need to share the truth. We must speak the words. As we understand that these are words from God's word, it's important that we know what God's word says. We need to be soaking regularly in God's word, reading God's word for ourselves, even memorizing God's word, so that as we are having conversation, the Holy Spirit can bring verses to mind that we are able to share with those around us. But again, understand, you don't have to have the Bible mastered completely before you're able to share. Remember the woman at the well recorded in John chapter 4? She'd only been saved for a short time when we see her sharing with all kinds of other people. I'm quite sure that she didn't have any verses memorized, but she was simply sharing what God had done for her. And in the same way, as a believer, you can simply share what God has done in your life and then point this person to the word. That's all it takes. In fact, as the people of Samaria later told this woman, listen to what they said. They said, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. The woman shared with them, and then God's Spirit worked in their hearts, enabling them to hear Jesus himself. So they believe because of the words of Jesus when they heard for themselves. And so in the same way, you and I simply share our testimony and then point people to the Word of God and watch what God will do. So will you join me in praying that God will give us the words to speak as we interact with unbelievers all around us? Notice that next phrase there in verse 19. The text says, starting at the beginning, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me, here's the phrase, in the opening of my mouth. And so as we pray, we need to also pray that we will be able to open our mouths, or we could put it this way, we need to pray for a willingness to start, to actually start. Now some of you are much better than others of us at simply talking, opening your mouth and talking. My son Paul, he's only 6 years old, and he's already much better at me than that talking to other people. We can go anywhere, and he will talk to any person. Myself, I would prefer only to talk to the people I know or the people I have to talk to, but not Paul. But no matter where you are at on that spectrum, whether it's really easy for you to talk to people or it's really hard for you to talk to people, we all need to be praying that we would have a willingness to start, that we would have a willingness to open our mouths and talk, and not just talk about the weather, not just talk about sports, not just talk about the news or our children or other events in our lives, but that we would have that willingness to start talking about God and the gospel. And again, this is why we need to pray that God would give us that willingness to start the conversation. We must pray that God will enable us to open our mouths and talk about him. Because it's so easy just to talk about temporal things, chatting and then moving on. But we need to be willing to open our mouths and speak the truth of God's word with all those around us. And it's only going to happen when we begin to pray specifically that God would strengthen us, enabling us to have that willingness to start the conversation, to transition the conversation then to spiritual things. Ray Comfort is probably one of the best people that I know in doing this. He's honed his skill in this and being able to start a conversation and quickly transition it to the spiritual conversation and sharing the gospel with that person. Some of the phrases that he encourages people to use, the phrases that he uses, he simply asks a person, do you have a Christian background? Or he might ask, what are your thoughts about life after death? Or he suggests you could ask, would you consider yourself to be a good person? Or do you think there is an afterlife? One of the reasons those questions work so well is because the question is focused on the person, and most people are more than willing to talk about themselves. But for many of those questions, you are then able to share the gospel with that person. With the Super Bowl happening later today, Ray Comfort released a video this past week in which he demonstrates how he transitions from talking about the Super Bowl to sharing the gospel. I encourage you, take some time to watch this video. It's a very interesting video, not only because he asks the question, is Brock Purdy actually a Christian? You're going to have to watch that for yourself. But he demonstrates, and I'm going to show you a little section of it here in a little bit. But then at the end, this is probably one of my favorite parts of it, he gives us 5 good reasons why you should watch sports. And then he gives you 5 important cautions you need to be aware of as you watch sports. Very well done. But I want you to listen now and watch as he simply transitions from the natural to the spiritual, from the Super Bowl to the gospel. It goes like this. Did you see how simply he did that? I'd encourage you to follow his example. And whether or not you're going to watch the Super Bowl later today or not, you can talk to your family member, friend, or even tomorrow, you could use these questions as you're working with someone. The questions, once again, if you missed them, the first one is, do you think it's legitimate for players to wear their faith on their sleeve? Just asking that random question. That's completely unoffensive, easy to start a conversation in that way. And then you could ask the question, do you think God is interested in football, or do you think God is interested in sports? And then Ray asked the question, have you ever prayed for your team to win? And then he simply transitioned into, do you think there is an afterlife? And then no matter how they answer those questions, you're able to share the gospel with that person. Now, that's not the only way to do it. There are many different ways that you can open your mouth and begin that conversation. But it all goes back to our heart. It all goes back to your and my willingness to start, to open our mouth and actually start talking about spiritual things. So will you join me in praying towards that end for ourselves and for each other? Let's pray that we will be willing to open our mouth, that we will be willing to start a conversation about the gospel. Look now at that final phrase there in verse 19. Notice it there. The text says, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Paul is requesting prayer for the boldness to share. The boldness to share. Once again, I find it fascinating that the Apostle Paul is asking the Ephesian believers to pray for boldness for him. Because this is the Apostle Paul, the man who was sharing the gospel with so many people that he had to flee for his life. This is the man who shared the gospel even if people hated him. This is a man who shared the gospel even though he was stoned, even though he was beaten, even though he was ostracized. This was the man who in the city of Ephesus was willing to enter a Colosseum and share with an angry mob. He had boldness, and yet again, he is requesting prayer for boldness. How does that work? Well, I think the answer is that Paul was not doing any of those things in his own strength. Paul understood that in himself, that he was completely powerless apart from God. He was a man with weaknesses and struggles just like the rest of us. He knew that he desperately needed God's strength to be bold. And that's why he is then asking the believers to pray that God would continue to grant him boldness. And so if Paul requests prayer for boldness to share, how much more do you, how much more do I need to be praying for ourselves and each other that we would have this boldness to share? Most of us, myself included, have the tendency to only share the bare minimum, or we are always looking for the nearest off-ramp whenever there is any resistance. But we need to pray for boldness. We need to have the boldness to share the mystery of the gospel and all it entails. Part of that boldness will come as we follow the Apostle Paul's example and mindset. Earlier, he shared with the elders of Ephesus these words, "But I do not consider my life," Paul said, "of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Paul's driving force was to share the gospel, even at the risk of his own life, because he knew that it was worth it because of Christ. When you and I have that same mindset, when we are then praying for boldness, God will answer and provide the boldness that we need. As Paul would later remind Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear. Instead, God has given us power, love, and discipline. Therefore, we must not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. This is what we need to pray for one another, that we would remember and understand the power and the love and the self-control that God has provided for us so that we can boldly share in an unashamed way. Keep in mind, as we share, that we need to start with the bad news. It's important that we understand that a person, it's important for a person to understand the bad news, that they are a sinner, that they are deserving of God's wrath for all of eternity. Then we need to explain how Christ died in our place. He took our punishment. He died for us. And then we must boldly share the truth of the mystery of the gospel, the incredible truth that God sent his son to die in our place to reconcile us to himself. As Paul describes it here in verse 19, this is the mystery of the gospel, the best mystery ever. Not a mystery that is hidden, not a mystery that is impossible to solve or figure out. Instead, a mystery that was previously hidden but has now been revealed. The gospel, the mystery of the gospel, is the good news that sinful man can be reconciled to a holy God through Christ's work on his behalf. This is the good news that we have the opportunity to share with boldness. And so as we do, remember, you and I cannot change anyone. Instead, we simply boldly share, and God will then do what only God can do as we sit back and watch him work. But it begins with prayer. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for each other to have the boldness that comes from God as we continue to boldly pray and share. As I've been contemplating these verses this week, this idea has really impacted me. I personally have a list of people that are unsaved that I pray for regularly. But as I studied this passage, and as I consider some of the other passages throughout the New Testament, the one that Brother Carl read earlier, even in the Gospels when Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few," he doesn't say, "Pray for people to be saved." Instead, he says, "Pray that God would send out laborers into the harvest." And as I contemplated all those verses, including these two verses here, I was convicted that I am often praying that God would save people, even people I know, but I barely ever pray that God would give me the boldness to share with this person, that God would provide me that opportunity to share the gospel. And so I need to change how I am praying. But verse 20 really contains that fourth request that we need to continue to pray as we prepare to share with those around us. The text says there in verse 20, Paul writes, "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." But notice that first phrase, "for which I am an ambassador in chains." That word "which" at the beginning of the verse is referring back to the gospel. Paul is an ambassador in chains for the gospel, the good news of Christ's death and resurrection. And so Paul is asking that he would be able to have this same mindset. And in the same way, we need to have this mindset to seize. We need to understand that we, like the Apostle Paul, I am an ambassador, that you and I are ambassadors. This is the mindset that Paul had. This is the mindset that was driving him, even as he sat there in prison. He understood that even though he was in prison, even though he had lost his freedom, his mindset was that he was still an ambassador. He understood that no matter the circumstances God placed him in, he was called to be an ambassador by boldly sharing the gospel with all those who crossed his path. Previously, when he had been free, he had been able to share with groups of people, even crowds of people. But now it was most likely individuals. But that didn't change Paul's mindset. He was still an ambassador. Now he describes himself as an ambassador in chains. He understands that he still had work to do. God wants you and I to have that same mindset. No matter where we are at, no matter our specific occupation, God is calling you and I to seize the mindset of an ambassador, one who shares the gospel with all those in our sphere of influence. Keep your finger here in Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we see this truth emphasized. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to start reading in verse 17. We read these words, "Therefore, If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As we see in these verses, all believers are new creatures in Christ. And thus, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, which means, verse 20, that we are ambassadors. An ambassador is simply one who represents or promotes someone else. And so as believers, we have been sent by God to represent him, to promote him to those around us. And so no matter what your occupation is in life, you are an ambassador for Christ in the gospel. This is the mindset that we need to seize, which in turn will impact the way we live. But it all begins with prayer. We need to pray and ask the Lord to help us to understand and adopt this mindset. We need to pray that we will understand the responsibility that we have to represent and promote God well as we interact with people around us. It's easy to think that this is just the task of pastors and missionaries, that they're the only ambassadors. But as we see here in 2 Corinthians 5, each one of us has been given this assignment as an ambassador. If you have been reconciled to God, if you are a child of God, you are an ambassador for God. Therefore, we must pray. We must pray that we will seize this mindset and then live it out in our daily lives. Each one of you is at a different place, in a different space. Some of you interact with unbelievers all the time. Others of you, it's more rare. But all of us have unbelievers in our lives, whether they are family members, friends, coworkers, or even classmates. We need to pray that God would give us the same mindset that Paul has back in Ephesians chapter 6. That we would have this mindset that we are an ambassador, that we would seize that mindset as a way of life and then share the gospel in each and every aspect of life as we are praying and sharing. Really, this is how Paul concludes here in verse 20. That in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The truth is, as believers, we have the responsibility to satisfy. Notice again that final phrase there in verse 20, as I ought to speak. Literally, it is as it is necessary for me to speak. Paul says that it is necessary, it is an obligation, it is a responsibility that God is calling him to satisfy and live out. And the same is true for you and me. It is necessary. We have the moral obligation, we have the responsibility to speak and share the gospel with all those around us. I don't think I need to convince any of you of that reality. We know that. But we still struggle. At least I do. And evidently Paul did as well. Because notice again here in verse 20 that Paul is again asking prayer for boldness. He knows that it is his responsibility to speak. And so he's asking the Ephesian believers to pray that God would grant him the boldness to carry out the responsibility that God has given to him. And in the same way, we need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for one another that we would have that boldness to carry out and satisfy the responsibility of sharing the gospel with those around us. But it all begins with prayer. We must pray. Pray. Pray for one another. Pray for me. If you don't have any desire to share with those around you, you may need to check to see if you are truly alive spiritually. Maybe you've just been going through the motions. In which case, today is the day to turn to the Lord and be saved. But it's also possible that you are saved and you are struggling with that desire. You don't have much of a desire to share with those around you. One of the factors may be that you have lost sight of the things above, as we read in Colossians chapter 3. If you and I truly understand how great God is, if you and I truly understand how incredible heaven will be and how terrible hell will be, we will sense our responsibility to share the hope of the gospel with all those around us. We must set our minds on things above where Christ is. Join me in praying that way. Join me in praying that God would give us a compassion for the lost. We need to have the same kind of compassion, that John Harper did. John Harper had planned to come to America in the spring of 1912. But he delayed his trip 1 week so that he and his six-year-old daughter could ride on the greatest ship of the world, the RMS Titanic. You all know what happened that fateful night in April. The unsinkable ship struck an iceberg and quickly began to sink. As John Harper learned of what happened, he immediately began to share the gospel with people, asking them if they were prepared to die. He continued to do that as he placed his six-year-old daughter on a lifeboat and told her that he would see her again one day. He then ran back on the boat, running from deck to deck, pleading with people to turn to Christ. As the ship then sank into the water, John put on a life jacket and jumped in the water himself, where he began to swim from person to person, simply saying, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." One of the men that he shared with was a young man who resisted that offer of salvation. John noticed that young man did not have a life jacket, and so he said to him, as he's taking off his life jacket and handing it to this young man, "Sir, you need this more than I do." John then swam away as he continued to share with others. He continued to do that until the cold and the waves overcame him and he sank below the surface. One day, we will learn how many people turned to the Lord on that terrible night because of the witness of John Harper. For sure, we know of one. That young man who received John's life jacket. His name was Aguilla Webb. He later testified that while he was in the water, after John had drowned, that there in the water, he believed in the Lord Jesus and was saved. And God, in his providence, wanted Mr. Webb's testimony preserved and made known for you and I because Mr. Webb, was one of only a handful who were rescued from the water that night. John Harper's heroic actions that evening were the result of much prayer. John's brother George wrote of his brother, "My brother was a man mighty in prayer. He was a master of this holy art. I have been with him in prayer again and again when his whole frame shook like an aspen leaf, so earnest was he in his pleading with God for a perishing world." Another friend testified of John. John was strong in his love for the perishing. Oh, how he burned and prayed, labored and wept for the conversion of sinners. Reading those testimonies, I was convicted of my own lack of prayer, my own lack or small desire to see people saved. And so again, I would ask you to pray for me. Pray that God would increase my compassion for the lost. Pray that I would be able to speak boldly as I ought to speak. We see here in the text that Paul is asking the Ephesian believers to pray for him. They prayed, and God answered their prayer. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Notice what Paul says, starting in verse 12. Paul writes, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." God answered Paul's request. God answered and gave Paul the ability to open his mouth and to speak with boldness, proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Christ. Our God answers prayer. So will you join me in praying and sharing? As you well know, prayer is so important in the Christian life. We need to be praying about everything. But specifically, as we've seen this morning, we need to be praying about the opportunity to share the good news with those around us. Keeping in mind that we shouldn't ever use a lack of prayer as an excuse not to share, because even in the moment, God can give us the words to say, and so by faith, we can step forward and share. But my encouragement to you is to find someone that you can pray for, and someone that you can pray for you as well. And then pray these specific requests that Paul mentions for himself. Pray that God would grant you the words to speak, the willingness to start, a boldness to share, that we would seize this mindset of an ambassador, and that we would satisfy the responsibility that God has given us to share the good news with those around us. Pray also that God would give us open doors, the opportunity to speak and share. And pray also, specifically for me, that the fear of man would not control me, but instead that each one of us would be controlled by the fear of God, seeking to honor him and live out the position and assignment he has given to us. As Jonathan comes to lead us in our closing song, I want you to think about the words that we read in Jude, starting in verse 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh."